Welcome to the Leap Health in the Workplace podcast. Leap Health empowers individuals and organisations to improve both their physical and mental health. In this podcast, we explore innovative, bespoke, proven health solutions that will improve your personal and professional productivity and happiness. I'm Anna Redde. Let's get ready to make small steps to Leap Health. Welcome to the podcast today. It's great to be back. I do appreciate I haven't put out a podcast for quite a while. Life has been busy, but it is the end of the summer holidays. Kids are back to school, so I am going to be more committed to this podcast. So today we're going to be exploring fueling for endurance events. And this came from a question that somebody asked me recently around, you know, fueling for a marathon. They'd also done half marathons before, but in this particular case, they were fueling for the marathon. So I thought, let's do a quick podcast around fueling for endurance events. So during this podcast, we're going to explore a little bit around carbohydrates, fats, proteins, as you would have expected, hydration, caffeine, actually putting it into practice, and then just some final thoughts to close. So I just want to firstly, you know, be open and honest and say that if you are taking this advice, please make sure that you are seeking the advice of a professional so that they can make it really, really specific to you, because nutrition has to be individualized and for everybody. Nobody's body is exactly the same. So this is just a little bit of guidance, but please do seek advice of a professional to make it really specific to you as an individual. So first and foremost, I'm going to start with the word macronutrients. Macro means big. Big means important. These are important nutrients. So over the years, we've seen lots of trends such as avoiding fat, avoiding carbs, focusing just on protein and more. And all of these, if they do work for you and it's giving you all the energy and nutrients that you require, that is fine. But the worrying bit is that by missing out big food groups, we can just be really missing some of those vital things that we do need in our diet. So you've got to be really, really careful. And as with any diet that's plastered out there, there can be really good versions of that diet and then not so good versions of that diet. So, you know, for instance, going low carb, you know, could be really good for some people, but then if you're compensating with that with really, really unhealthy fats and really processed proteins, it's probably not that nutrient dense. You know, if you're avoiding fats, you're missing out on all those healthy fats that are really important for you. So, and again, if you're looking at different diets, such as like your vegan and vegetarian, there can be really healthy versions of that. And generally, if you are vegan or vegetarian, you're getting more vegetables, which is uber nutrient dense and brilliant for your body, but you could equally be not focusing your diet around vegetables and focusing it around really, really processed vegan and vegetarian food, which might not be nutrient dense. So you've got to make it really individual to yourself. You've got to understand what you're doing and not jump on the bandwagon of just fads that people tell you. So let's start off with carbohydrates. And carbohydrates are the body's main source of fuel for energy. They're stored in the liver and muscles as glycogen. And getting enough of the right carbohydrates at the right time can help you to preserve these glycogen stores and delay the onset of fatigue, which is particularly important in endurance events. So this is not just related to running. This might be endurance cycling events, swimming events, any endurance events. A few considerations, though, particularly around female athletes. They might want to consider that during that second part of their menstrual cycle, which is known as the luteal phase, they generally store more glycogen than in that first half. So your body's usually a little bit more able to metabolize that glycogen in the first phase, which is a follicular stage. And then in the second stage of luteal phase, they're a lot more likely to hold on to that glycogen. Many general recommendations suggest that we should go for a low glycemic index carbohydrate diet. The reason for this is that if your carbohydrates are low in glycemic index, it takes them longer to digest rather than those higher carbohydrates. So as low glycemic index carbohydrates take longer to digest, this prevents your blood sugar levels from peaking You'll know that if you have some quick sugar, some sweets, something, this will peak the blood sugar levels, but then it gives you like a quick energy spike, but then quite shortly after you're going to get a dip. And what we generally try to aim for is that flat, consistent level of sugar in our body rather than lots of those peaks and troughs, because long term that can cause consequences. In addition, your low GI carbohydrates generally provide you with a greater sense of satiety, keep us falling up, full up, sorry, and keep sustained energy over a longer period of time. So if you imagine you're this straightish line of your blood sugar levels is drip feeding your body with energy over a sustainable period of time, which when we're doing endurance events is important that we've got that sustainable energy. So your low GI carbohydrates include those such as your whole grains and pulses, so things like your whole wheat pasta, brown rice, lentils, beans, you have lots of those. That's those really, really healthy carbohydrates. And your high GI carbohydrates, so although they might get a bad name, in some situations can be really, really beneficial. So if somebody's having a hypoglycemic event, so particularly those people with diabetes, you've got a quick fix of some really fast-acting sugar, so high in GI, I would quickly raise those blood sugar levels, which is really important. And also in sport, there might be situations when we really just need to peak our blood sugar levels for that sudden surge of energy. So in endurance events, we might get to an hour in and need a bit of a sudden surge of energy, or just before. So it's important to get a good balance of both. And your high glycemic index carbohydrates include things such as your sweets, as we mentioned, cakes, sugary drinks, but they will act faster if they're just in that sugary form. So think about your cakes. Your cakes are usually accompanied, that sugar in there is usually accompanied with flour, with your eggs, with your butter as well. So that protein from your eggs and fat from your butter might slow down that digestion. So if you're using it for a sudden surge of energy, you'd probably just want to go over that really, really high glycemic index, such as like your sweets or sugary drinks. Carbohydrate loading is not something new. I think we've all known this for years and years, but it has changed slightly in terms of the guidance over the years. And usually, currently, this is not for everybody. As I said, it's really individual, but usually it'd be recommended that you do this for about 2 to 3 days prior to an event. And again, it's all dependent on the exact type of event that you're doing, your body. But yeah, so it depends on the length of that event. The key, though, as I said, is just to really think about what's going to be the optimal solution for you. So cherry pick all the information that I give you, that other people give you, and make sure that it's an optimal solution for you. And if you are changing what you're doing, because you're preparing for events, it's a good idea to do it well in advance. And because you don't want to just think of the week before, oh gosh, I haven't done anything with my diet, I'll try all sorts of different changes now, because that could cause havoc in your body and could actually have a detrimental effect. So lower GI carbohydrates are generally more nutrient dense, and they contain higher levels of fiber. And fiber's got loads and loads of health benefits, particularly for your gut health. And we need to support our gut health as well, because our gut health has an impact on our brain health as well. And lots of those healthy carbohydrates are really beneficial, because they're high in B12 for your brain. And although I know we're thinking about our physical endurance, but in endurance events, there's a lot of mental stamina that's needed as well. So try to think about fueling your brain as well as your body. In terms of fiber, it's recommended that we have 30 grams of fiber a day. Currently in the UK, we're a little bit lower than that. We average around about 20 grams. But the big consideration with fiber is that it can take time to digest. So if you, as I said, think week before your race, oh my gosh, I'm going to increase my fiber intake now because this is going to be really good for my brain and my body, that again could cause lots of side effects such as bloating, diarrhea, constipation. So really try to make subtle, small little changes in your fiber over a period of time so that it's not just a big shock for your body, but those small incremental changes will have a beneficial effect. And you can really understand, you know, what your body responds, how your body responds to that different levels of fibre. And yeah, just an added thought there as well, having too much fibre on race day, it can lead to the terrible runner's trot. So just be mindful of that. So we're getting closer to the race now and thinking about on the morning of an endurance event. So your lower GI carbohydrates take about 2 to 4 hours to kick in. So on the morning, or maybe 2 to 4 hours before your event, think about having a low GI meal. So something like, you know, porridge is a great idea, wholemeal toast. Just think about having those low GI carbohydrates. And then probably about 90 minutes before the event, you're going to start thinking about 90 minutes to an hour before thinking about that, those higher GI carbohydrates. So you've seen such as your energy drinks, although not all energy drinks are beneficial. So you've got to be careful which you choose. So some things like bananas, raisins are all really good high GI sources. There isn't actually any clear evidence on if high or low GI carbohydrates are best when you carb loading. But as I said before, your low GI ones are generally more nutrient dense, so probably going to do more benefit for your body. And probably during those stages of carb loading, you're probably not in demand of those high GI carbohydrates. So I personally would go for my low GI carb approach during the carbohydrate loading stage. But again, this is very, very individual. There is, though, a caveat to that. If you are wanting to get uber lots and lots of calories in you to sustain you through the event, and you're not being able to get enough from your low GI carbohydrates, because as I said, those do fill you up more, they create more of a sense of satiety, then you might think about having more higher GI carbs just so that you can meet that calorific need, because your high GI carbs are a lot more palatable generally. It's a lot easier maybe to eat a big bag of Haribos than a big bag of porridge. So that's a little bit around carbohydrates. Let's move on to fat now. I cannot sell healthy fats to you enough through my own experience of not having enough in my diet. It is crucial that we get enough of these healthy fats. It's a key source of fuel for endurance sports, particularly when you're working at lower intensity, so during those endurance events. The fat, they're absolutely vital for your hormonal health. As I said, I've seen, you know, massive effects on the hormonal health from not taking enough healthy fats on board when endurance training and during endurance events. And they're critical for fueling your brain as well. Your brain needs those healthy fats. So in sport, a lack of those healthy fats, as I alluded to, can be a big contribution to REDS. This is relative energy deficiency in sport. And this is something that's often overlooked. So all too often, we're focusing on train more, and there's all these diets about reducing your calories and things. But there is a big risk around REDS, around that not getting enough calories to meet the demands of the sport that you're carrying out. And particularly, I feel like there's a big, big, big gap in younger people in sports in terms of educating them around this. So it can show up in women with various symptoms, and this can be things such as amenorrhea, so your loss of your period or changes of your period, a bit more sporadic and a bit more spaced out, reduction in bone density as well. Obviously, your hormones, estrogen plays a particular role in terms of protecting those bones. Hence why when we get to the menopausal stage, again, we can be at high risk of bone loss because we've got a decrease in that estrogen. And in men, this can impact the hormone levels as well, amongst other symptoms such as fatigue. So critical that you are getting enough calories in there for the calories that you're burning as well, and enough of those healthy fats. And fats are actually higher in calories per gram. So fats would be 8 calories per gram, as opposed to your carbs and proteins, which are 4 calories per gram. So they are more calorific, so they will help you meet that calorific need. So try to get some good sources of healthy fat. Obviously, there's saturated and unsaturated fat. So we want to try and avoid those that are particularly high in saturated fat, and not eliminate them at all, but be mindful of not over-consuming those saturated fats, such as like cakes and fat on meat and buttery things. But more focus on those healthy fats, so things such as your nuts, seeds, oily fish, peanut butter, avocados, olives, olive oil, all really great sources of healthy fats. Think about that Mediterranean diet. Think about when you visualize that plate of Mediterranean food, all those healthy fats on there, those are the things you want to be looking for. And they're all dead tasty as well. But if you do struggle to get two portions of oily fish in a week, then this is where you might want to think about supplementing with an omega-3, because although your nuts and seeds are really good forms of healthy fat, they're not as easily convertible into usable source in your body. So we want you to make sure that you're getting enough of those omega-3s. And when you look at omega-3s, it's all about getting the ratio between your omega-6 and omega-9. So because of our modern day of living, our diet is pretty high in those like omega-6 and omega-9. And what we need to do is raise that intake of the omega-3 so that the ratio evens out a little bit more. So if you are looking for an omega-3 supplement, make sure that it contains that DHA and EPA. These are the critical components of your omega-3. So moving on from fats now to protein. And when we think about endurance events, usually generally all we think about is carbs, isn't it? We can think about carb overloading and don't really pay as much attention to protein as if, say, somebody said they were bodybuilding and trying to build muscle mass. But muscle mass is also important for your endurance events. It is protein's a building block of every cell in our body. So we need to be getting enough of our protein requirements. It's important in terms of maintaining and building that muscle mass. And when we extend that, this helps with the room for the storage of the glycogen in the muscles. So, yeah, and it also improves our performance when you get to the end of that endurance event and your body's drained and everything. You know, if you've got a bit of extra power left in your legs or in your arms, that muscle really does support you. So from my own experience, again, I've trained for two marathons, 20 years apart. And being more aware of my fat and protein intake showed a massive difference in my second marathon compared to my first marathon. So make sure that you are including that bit of weight training as well to accompany your endurance training, but make sure that you're getting enough protein in there as well so that you maintain that muscle mass. And particularly as we age, your sarcopenia starts to kick in, which is the breakdown of your muscle mass. You need to be preserving that muscle mass and making sure that you do eat. You know, if the endurance event is a long period of time, making sure that you're fueling your body during that event, but after, make sure you're replenishing your body with enough protein as well as those carbohydrates. And then thinking now about hydration, this is really, really simple one, but really, really important one. And hydration's important for the storage of glycogen. So this requires extra fluid. So often when you see people go on these low carb diets, they'll see that they lose weight straight away. And often this can just be because carbohydrates hold on to more water, that it's water loss rather than actual fat loss. So that for you know, hydrogen is really important and should be made a priority before your endurance event and then taken regularly during the race. But again, this is something that you might want to trial during your training sessions. Drinking on the move, hydrating food, not drinking vodka on the move, hydrating on the move and the amounts that you take at certain times. So I know myself, if I drunk a full bottle of water all at once while I was running, that would be jiggling about in my tummy and hinder my success. Whereas if you just have little sips of it, that might be a more successful approach. But just really think about and practice, you know, what works best for you. And then think about your requirements. So obviously, the longer the endurance event, the more you will be sweating and the more you'll need to be replacing that hydration. So think about the duration, think about the intensity, think about the heat as well. Obviously, in the hotter weather, you need to be replenishing more. And think about your age as well, because our body stays hydrated with age. So this might change with age as well. And be a bit more, intuitive around those thirst cues, and don't always misinterpret those thirst and hunger cues, because this can be quite easy to do. And often people think I'm hungry when actually it is that they're thirsty. And if you leave it too long, your cognitive function can decline. So it is really, really super key that you do need to keep hydrating all the time. So you don't want to be powering on during your endurance event, fail to have hydrated and be losing cognitive function and losing energy as well. This is a bit of a given, but just a reminder to people, do avoid alcohol prior to race day. It does dehydrate you. So it's really not going to support your dehydration. It also impacts on your sleep as well, which massively impacts on your performance and on your mental health as well. And as we said, that you do need mental stamina. So avoiding alcohol is a real benefit prior to the race, and absolutely, certainly on race day. Or maybe you might be able to have a little drink after the race. So moving on to caffeine, still thinking about drinking, although caffeine can be taken in other forms as well. Caffeine is one of the most evidence-based sports enhancers around. It's been around for years and years, and this is probably what we've got a lot of experience with. However, it is advised again to experiment with it before race day, because everyone has different caffeine sensitivities and different reactions to it as well. It is advised that we have no more than 400 milligrams of caffeine per day. Again, this is in general. You might be different for you. You might be able to consume more or less. Some people often think that they can consume more and it's not inhibiting them sleep. Whereas if you actually do the sleep analysis, you would realize that they're not getting into the deep stage of sleep and the REM stage of sleep as effectively, because that caffeine is in it. But that's another podcast in itself, all around sleep. Let's not diversify. But yeah, in general, the more you have of caffeine, the less caffeine sensitive you will become. So you might have seen in yourself, you might start off just having a couple of cups a day, and then realizing you're not getting the same kick off that. So then you might have three cups a day, four, and that can build up, because your caffeine sensitivity does reduce the more that you have. So then you need more and more and more to get that kick. So use it wisely. Don't overconsume it beforehand. Save it for when you really need it. So rather than using it every time you train just to give you a boost, just save it for those special times when you need it, such as endurance events. The half-life of caffeine is around about 5 to 7 hours. So even if you had your last cup of coffee or tea or anything with caffeine in at 2 o'clock, half of this is still likely to be in your body at 9 o'clock. So this can, again, hugely impact on your sleep quality. So just be mindful of your timing as well as your quantity of caffeine. So the key, really, is to use it at the correct doses at the right time to benefit your sports performance. And this will normally be around about 30 minutes before a race or during a race to give you that boost. There is another point to think about with caffeine, is that if it's overconsumed, it can have a diuretic effect, which can result in dehydration. And this is usually around about an intake of 500 milligrams. So we said that it's advised we have no more than 400 milligrams. Around about 500 milligrams, different for everybody, and you'll probably see the impact drop off, and you'll have more of a diuretic effect. And this can cause dehydration. So make sure you are hydrating a lot as you're taking caffeine on as well. So accompany it with lots of water and lots of other hydrating fluid. So what does all this actually look like in practice? So just to give you a bit of a guideline, again, this is a guideline, but what would it look like the day before an endurance event? And this is just a typical example. But nobody is a typical person. Everybody is the individual. So you really, really do need to understand your specific recommendations. So if we think of a male athlete weighing about 165 pounds, if you're looking at your protein, you'd be thinking about 2.1 grams per kilogram per body weight. So that would be about 160 grams of protein. If you look at your carbohydrates, this would be 6.7 grams per kilogram per body weight. So that'd be about 500 grams of carbs. And again, you might want to think about that breakdown between your low, high carbs and fat around about 80 grams. I'm sort of really recommending those healthy fats, and this would be about 1.1 gram per kilogram per body weight. So those recommendations, that would be, that's just an example for a male weighing 165 pounds. So you could calculate that yourself, but again, use this as a guideline. Again, for females, an average guidance would be 2.1 gram per kilogram per body weight, 6.7 grams per kilogram per body weight, and 1.1 gram per kilogram per body weight. But please do make it a really individual choice. So we're wrapping up now, and just a few final thoughts as we've explored all those areas. And the really, really key to remember is that to adhere to anything, it's important that you're enjoying the process. So you could have a really, really strict diet that you think is going to give you the best performance ever. But if it's absolutely horrendous and stressful, you're really probably not going to stick to it. So try to make it enjoyable. You make sure that you're trying to get that those nutrient requirements that you need, but through sources that you do actually enjoy as well. So once you know your calorific and nutrient needs, try to find some really quick and simple recipes that you can prepare and actually enjoy. So the more you prepare things, the more it gets habitual, quicker and easier it is, then it's easier to stick to. And try and plan ahead so that it's not a case of you getting from your run and you're absolutely starving and hungry and can't think what to refuel with. Try and plan ahead so that you're not getting hungry. And equally, you're not grazing constantly. So when you're training for endurance events, the body's been put under so much stress. So recovering and refueling is just as important as training. And again, this is something that's overlooked often, and people just focus on that training, how far am I going to run, you know, what intensity. But your recovery and refueling is just as important, because if you fail to do that, then the rest of your training is you're going to get little return on investment for. So do prioritize that rest and recovery as well as refueling. And so yeah, if we leave our bodies underfueled or under nutrient deficient, or if we leave them nutrient deficient, sorry, and not fully rested, we just can't expect to get optimal performance. And do not omit, as I've spoke about before, the fundamental aspect of fueling your brain. We often just focus on how do we fuel our muscles, our body for performance, without thinking that the brain is a powerful thing. And we need this, particularly in endurance events, we need that mental stamina. So, you know, thinking about those endurance events, just remember, it's not just about physical stamina, it's about mental stamina as well. So try to nourish your brain as well as your body. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that was informative for you. I would love to know any of your thoughts, any of your top tips around fueling for endurance events. If there's any podcasts that you would like me to explore, I would love to know your thoughts and make this really centric as to what is important to you. And if you would like any more support around nutrition, to learn more about those macronutrients and food for mood, or any other areas of nutrition, please do get in touch. I do one-to-one coaching, and I do a lot of workplace health workshops. So these include various workshops exploring nutrition, activity, menopause, work-life balance, meeting effectiveness, burnout, lots and lots of different types of areas that we explore. So please do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. It's anna@leaphealth.co.uk. Have a great day. So before you stop listening, I want you to think about how you can make health contagious. Did anything resonate in the podcast? What did you learn that was new? Did you hear something that you thought someone else would love to hear? If so, please share this podcast. Please leave me a review, or please get in touch at anna@leaphealth.co.uk to learn more about how you can improve physical and mental health of individuals and those in the workplace, so that everybody can feel happier and healthier and more productive. Thank you.